Tim Cox with you, and it is 14 minutes to 10. Sally Bryant has Wildlife Talk back in the next hour of mornings. I have a couple of questions for Sal already. If you want to shoot one through on the SMS, it's 1-9-9-2-9-3-6. Or you can wait and call, and Bernard Keane from Crikey along after the news at 10 o'clock. But as I mentioned before, the Australia Council for the Arts has had this interesting idea of taking people who know a lot about the arts, as they're known, people like Nicholas Hayward from the TSO, who's with me in the studio. Good morning.
Morning, Tim. Very,
great to see you. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And you, sir?
Oh, always the better for having you here, Nicholas. And matching them with what it calls, I'm just quoting here, I don't want to offend anyone, I don't want to start anything because they could hack me or something or other, with tech-savvy geeks. And you'll meet Peter Morse, who is, and I think this is the right way of describing it, geek in residence. Hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Okay. Now, Nicholas, why and what can you get out of this?
What can we get out of
this?
We can take our orchestra to the world, Tim.
I thought you already did that.
Yeah, but compare the cost of putting an orchestra on a bus, driving out to the airport, getting on a big plane and flying to Europe, with looking at what's what we can do on the World Wide Web.
I'm just being entertained by Sarah Marceau here, my miming producer. Go on, sorry.
You can tell that I'm the one from the arts that doesn't know much about the technology, can't you?
You're both doing very well. Go on. So is it something that you that will help you at every day at an office level, and then when you travel, when you release new recordings, when you sell tickets, what are you hoping to get out of it?
All of it. Yes. I mean, the orchestra already runs on a whole lot of different kinds of technology, Tim, as you probably know. Mm. Everything from our ticketing system to all our scheduling. We design everything on a CAD. All our music scores are now done on a computer. You can send them around on a disc. So I don't know that the paperless orchestra is going to happen this year, but it's somewhere in the future. So from there, right through to using technology to create great art. But most importantly, if you're sitting in Tasmania, a little island with an orchestra that wants to be heard in the rest of the world, you've got to embrace all of these technologies. And the one we're using now is fine, and lots of people listen to us on other bits of the ABC. But there are lots of people who don't listen to the ABC anymore, and we want to engage with them. And particularly, they're likely to be younger than you and me, Tim. And so we're going to find our new audience somewhere out there in the ether, I think. And I've no idea how we're going to do it, but I think that geeks are probably going to help us find them.
All right.
And now, find the technology and kind of change the culture of the place.
So what's your background, Peter?
Well, I worked for many years in academia at the Victorian College of the Arts and the University of Melbourne, working in a department or running a department in new media and media arts. And I currently run I left academia, and I currently run a business here in Hobart working as a visualisation consultant, which might sound a bit mystical.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It sounds good, yes. And what it means is that I work with a variety of different institutions, organizations, companies, individuals, and so on, helping them visualize their data. So I'm doing a lot of work with the Antarctic Division, with the Museum of Old and New Art here. I work with the Western Australian Supercomputer Program and various other HPC, high performance computing centres around Australia, and look at scientific data sets and also sort of cultural and humanities heritage kind of data. So I've done a lot of work, for instance, with the Mawson's Huts Foundation, working on visualising Mawson's Huts and the heritage site and looking at how we can deploy that.
Now, I've popped Nicholas in a soundproof booth, and he is sitting there with headphones on listening to Triple J, so he can't hear what you're saying, and he's doing a very good job of being in that soundproof booth. Thank you, Nicholas. He's boxing now, I suspect, or something. Big box, little box, whatever it is. How tech savvy, how close to cutting edge is the orchestra in terms of the way it uses the technology available?
Well, this is a discussion that we're just beginning to have. The program that we're establishing with the Australia Council, the Geeks in Residence program, is really a pilot program. So it's really to look at how new technologies can be deployed, and I guess the culture of technology, how can that be deployed efficiently and effectively with the orchestra, because they're a very significant, iconic Tasmanian cultural resource. This is really the first time I've met Nicholas, so we've just had a really interesting discussion about the possibilities on the way here. So it's a bit crazy to come and do this sort of promotion at this stage, because it's a very beginning conversation.
Yeah.
But that's also perhaps quite appropriate, because the National Broadband Network is clearly, it's an emergent platform. It's, you know, hasn't actually been built yet, but it's being rolled out for the first time in Tasmania. It's typically regarded, I think, as a platform for business growth, for the transfer of data, for scientific organisations, for a whole series of less cultural kind of applications. And the argument that I think we're going to start pursuing, and things that we'll be looking at, is how is it going to be significant for cultural organisations, given that they're major providers of content, and that they're going to be, in a sense, the future broadcasters of a type, because that the platform changes
relationships. It's an interesting thing, and Nicholas has taken off his headphones now, so it can be part of the discussion again, but visual artists are often, what do they call it? Early adopters? I think you said early adopters.
Sure.
Of new technology to embellish their art, to give them a new space in which to create. But the orchestra, of course, plays works that, with very, very good reason, have stood the test of time, centuries in many cases, as well as the new work, you know, Eleanor Katz-Chernin and what have you. It's an interesting profile on her I read the other day. So, I don't know, where do you work with something like that, where an orchestra, an organisation, is covering such a broad area that, you know, how do you say, I actually think you can do this way or what have you? I mean, are these groups going to be quick to adopt new technology and new ways of seeing?
Well, my impression from talking to Nicholas is that he's very open-minded about this, and certainly aware, because of the regional nature of the orchestra, that we're on an island at the end of the earth in a sense, that it's very important to embrace new technologies, because there's a limited population here, and so therefore that limits the kinds of things that you can do and the potential revenue streams that you have. So when you've got a significant bandwidth, such as an NBN, where you can basically multicast or broadcast globally, then you can identify new audiences, monetize your resources, and generate new and interesting revenue streams. So that's one important aspect, I think, for the TSO. The other thing, naturally, is that new technologies can be useful for is internal structures for the orchestra,
of course,
communication,
yeah,
and so,
yeah,
on, administration, those sorts of things can be looked at as well.
Will it be hard, Nicholas, to open the eyes of everyone in the orchestra, from those in the band to those who work in the back room, do you think?
Hopefully not. I mean, we all have mobile phones, we do everything on our computers and so on, so and we have a lot of younger members of the orchestra who are all busy twittering and tweeting and all that sort of stuff all the time, so I hope not. I mean, we wear 19th century dress. We play 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th century music. But our very first concert in 1948 was broadcast live from the Hobart City Hall around Australia.
Tremendous.
You know, which must have been tremendous at the time. And we need to keep on doing the equivalent of that all the way along. Otherwise, this institution won't survive. It's always adapted. And so I think we just have to keep adapting, you know, just as cricket invents 2020. So I don't know where that came from, but we're going to have to do our equivalent.
But
you
it's
know?
A good it's a good analogy in a way, isn't it? And, of course, what you can have is, I guess, to use a musical expression, the counterpoint between, you know, works that have stood this test of time and this new media. It could be a very, very interesting marriage. Can we catch up with you in a couple of months, and can you let us know how it's going on? I'll be very interested to see if you're dressing any differently, Peter, or perhaps if you are, Nicholas. If you come in the corduroy jacket or how that might go.
Why not?
we'll swap roles, I imagine.
Love to report back, Tim.
That would be fabulous. Gentlemen, thank you. I'd really like to have that. That would be beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you very
That's
much.
That's Nicholas Hayward, of course, from the TSO, the General Manager, and Peter Morse, their new Geek in Residence. It's 5 minutes to 10.